It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a Gap camp shirt. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and click live broadcast, or you can watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. We're doing the Facebook live thing with Zoom, so you can see all of us, and you guys can comment there, and Pip will take care of that and bring anything of importance to our attention. If you just want the audio is probably a little better on davincomedy.com, but it should be okay tonight on Facebook Live. That's what we are hoping for. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined, I think, by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes, you are. How you doing, pal?
Good. How are you? And Pip Helix. Hi, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
So second week in a row doing Zoom. Hopefully we have our audio situation a little better. We worked on it a couple days last week, so hopefully it's all right. On the show, a cop pulls his gun on a protester holding his toddler. The Minneapolis school board no longer wants police in their school, and they came up with that decision before they decide they no longer want police. We'll get into that. Congress wants to make stiffer penalties for people perpetrating COVID-19 scams. Nazi news as men are wearing swastika masks at the supermarket. And Gap sells a shirt called a camp shirt that looks like the shirts that were worn in concentration camps, and we'll do scamming scammers, and I'm sure we'll get to other things as well. I guess I got some stuff I want to talk about, but I guess we'll open up the floor to Pip, because Pip is once again a free agent. Pip once again is sans day program. Hello, Pip. It's over.
I am a free woman.
You are a free woman. Look at that smile. Look at that smile on her face. She's so happy.
I am. I went to work on Monday morning, and evil Karen and HR were sitting in Karen's office waiting for me.
Waiting. Waiting.
Like you said, I went to work Monday morning. I left to go home Monday morning, too.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I called Mr. Helix and I said, "Guess who's coming home?" He says, "What?" And like, he goes, "What happened?" And I'm like, "I'm a free agent." It was great.
I hate the fact that they make you come in to get fired. Just call me.
I know.
Just call me and say, "Don't bother."
I know. It's like, text me or something. I know what Dunross is clapping. He's happy for me.
There's actually been, like, in sports, there's stories where, like, the home team will be going on a road trip. They'll make the coach or manager fly across the country to accompany the team. Like, say you're a New York team and you go to California. You get to California, the general manager fires you in California. It's like, dude, I was just home. Why?
At least I didn't have to make a flight to do this.
No, but it's annoying. You could have slept in.
And it's one of my favorite things to do. But
it's probably why you got fired.
I didn't mind getting called in so that I could get let loose from that place. I was so miserable, and I knew that she couldn't stand me, and I was just fire me already so I can get unemployment. Put me out of my misery. They shoot horses. Come on. You know, so finally.
They shot you.
Yeah. Nice one, Jack.
Yes. Bring the chip in. Okay. Give her a carrot. All right.
Click, click.
What was
it? Yeah, don't show her.
What was the reason you were given?
Oh, I was told that I was making mistakes with reports that were sent to finance, and they were the same old mistakes. And you know what? I wasn't going to argue with her about the fine points of this, because a lot of the things that were going wrong were because of her terrible management and terrible explaining things. But fine. Yeah, I'm not foolproof. Yeah, I made mistakes. But every day I would work with the lady in finance, and, you know, we just like, oh, I didn't send you that report? Okay, here it is. But they made it sound like this woman was working herself to death because of all my errors. And it's like, oh, bitch, please. That's not what's going on.
Here's the deal. You were making the same mistakes. You should have been proactive and were looking to make new mistakes. You know, you got to think out of the box.
She has a lack of creativity.
We started with a new thing and new software, and there were bugs, and the lady in finance and I were working out the system, how I was going to do reporting to her. But none of this has anything to do with why I was fired. The bitch could not stand me anymore.
I can understand that.
Thanks for that.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, you know, that's a really good question.
It's the only type I ask.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been doing, like, office work in one form or another for a long time, and it's just, I'm comfortable doing that stuff. I would like to find something else doing that, but I'm just looking around. I'm looking at other kinds of venues. I don't have particularly a lot of training in any of those, and I don't need entry-level money. So this is going to be an interesting job search, especially when everybody else in the country is looking for a job.
See, now
I applied for one job, and 161 other people had applied for it.
A long time ago.
Yeah, because a lot of people are out of work.
Yeah.
A long time ago, you were a janitor. I kind of think that would be a good job for you, because you wouldn't be dealing with other people that much. Even though dealing with people is a strength, like dealing with strangers, dealing with bosses has not been kind to you the past several years. So I kind of feel like if you're dealing with the tidy bowl man, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do janitor work again.
Why? Why? You talk about your ass a lot. A lot of ass incidents happen in the bath. I feel like it's right up your alley.
Well, I don't think that I want to be locked into just ass kind of work.
No, there could be peckers. You know what I mean? Peckers in the vaginas too.
Well, I could work for a proctologist, perhaps.
Well, you know what they say. Do what you love and the money follows.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Said, do what you love and the money follows.
Well, I don't want to do janitor work for that. I mean, there's something out there for me. I just haven't found it yet. I've also been looking at online training, you know, like online college courses to try to get retrained to do something else. I don't have like one thing that is like, ooh, gosh, I love that. You know, let me go do that.
Well, you know what? You'll figure it out. You're young. Maybe backpack across Europe for a semester. That's what like kids do before they go to college, or when they need a break from college, they can't figure out what they want to do. They're like, I'm just gonna go backpack across Europe. I'm gonna stay in some hostels. Pip can do that.
He's gonna call in from Prague. That's nice. Great idea.
Besides that, it's like kids who are taking a gap year don't have mortgages.
Well, you know what? Listen,
don't like them in Prague. Don't like that. All right.
I'm in a hostel.
Well, yesterday, while we were doing our sound checks on Facebook Live and everything, we did see Mr. Helix showing some skin. I think it's time that sweet ass starts earning some money, so you could take a break for a little while.
Well, I was going to put him out, you know, on the corner, but he had other ideas about that.
Yeah, but you give him a back slap, and that'll be the end of his ideas. You know what? Time for Mr. Helix to shake his moneymaker. He's out of work, too. It's time for him to step up his game. It can't just be walking around the house topless anymore. Mama needs some income.
Well, you know, I don't think I'm speaking too much out of school, but he's not much for ass play. So
it's good to know.
That kind of cut a lot of the money making.
Well, but here's the difference. You say ass play, this will be a job. This will be ass work. He'll be fine. Suck it up, Buttercup. These cats don't eat for free.
No, they don't.
No, Mama needs funny. Some kibble.
Yes, I do.
You know what? You've been the kibble winner for long enough. Mr. Helix gave us a little preview as he peeked around the little purple wall yesterday. He has some untapped assets. It is time he goes to work. Enough. Mama needs a break.
Well, I'm having a break right now because since I don't have to be at work, the girls are free. So
the girls have always been free. Nobody's paying for the girls, but they might pay for some nice hot Mr. Helix.
Hot Mr. Helix on toast.
Swinging back and forth like bells in an ice cream truck.
How did you know, Joe? Does that show on Zoom?
I can hear the jingling from here.
They have gotten louder as they've gotten older.
Well, I will say you seem to be in a better mood, so that's good.
Yeah, you know what? You don't know how it weighs on you to go to a toxic workplace until you don't have to anymore. I had the best conversation with my previous supervisor there, who was awesome, and I called her. I texted her, and we had a phone date this afternoon on our lunch hour, and we had a great chat, and I spilled all the tea about her old workspace, and she was like, oh, it was really good.
Well, you know what?
Years ago, about 30 years ago, I ran a fence company, this one fence company, for a season, and I was miserable.
Yeah.
Laid me off because they were going to shut down. Cut back, and I was one of the newer guys. I have never been so happy to be let go in all my life. I was miserable.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, my day program now, I mean, like today was a rough day. I mean, even through when we were doing the show. But I work for very, very, very good people that take very good care of us. So, you know, so it's nice. You know, I have a nice supervisor. And the people I work for are very family-oriented and very good to work for. So I find myself lucky because I've had places that they just treated you like crap. So when you get a good place, you know, you feel it's good, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what my old supervisor was saying, that now she works for a place where it's where everybody works together, and that you know, it's a collaborative work environment, and everybody's professional, and there's no yelling at people and you know, treating people like crap and always finger pointing about everything. You know, that's the thing that I really found really disgusting, is that whenever there was a problem, it was always like, well, you know, it's her fault. She did it, you know. Why does there always have to be somebody's got a place to lay blame? Let's work on the problem. I mean, that's what happened at old work.
Yes, but if you're the problem, they're working on it.
Well, they did. They solved the problem. There was a project I was working on that nobody else knows how to do, and there was supervisor Karen is planning on going on vacation at the end of the month, and there's nobody else there to do what I was doing, and they're not planning on replacing me. And I'm like, how the fuck is that going to happen?
It's not your problem.
Like,
you got to understand something. This is the deal, and this is why your supervisor may lose her job, because basically what it is, you can't when you're in a job. Because I was a supervisor, you can't walk around like Mr. Slate and fire everybody. If you let somebody go, it also counts against you. Do you know how to train? Do you know how to retain? What happened to leave this? If your boss, their supervisor looks and finds things that you've been describing that she's been doing, you know, her ass is on the line too. She might be shown the door as well. And maybe because, you know, if they feel that you've been let go, because if it's a problem, you know, with this person, you know, because basically to hire somebody, to train somebody, to keep somebody, costs money. And if they're not doing their job to train you right and to retain you, that they're costing the company money. So their ass is on the line.
Yeah, because the new head of the place is a monster, and she's her best buddy. I think that she's been protected so far, but when stuff in that department starts going downhill because there's nobody to do what I used to do, it's going to get backed up pretty quickly. And yeah. I'm wondering if she's planning on keeping her own butt out of the fire when that starts to become apparent.
Yeah, well, that's problem. That's when it catches up with them, when that becomes apparent. Because basically, like I said, you let somebody go, you're hauled upstairs too, and you're everything is gone through. Why did you dismiss this person? So you know, it's like I said, it's not like you know you can run around being Mr. Slate. You're a bar. I mean, you know, you're accountable for that. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, because I've talked to so many people that are currently there, and my ex-supervisor who left there, and my coworker who stuck there, I feel really confident in the fact that it wasn't me, that it really is, she's a very, very poor manager. And, you know, there were ways to solve issues, but, you know, I was not, neither of us were trained in that particular, work. And so it was all new to us. They knew that. And this woman didn't know how to train or how to supervise. So, you know, she came in and all of a sudden it became, you know, a horror show because she didn't know how to deal with employees, and we were both green. We didn't get our degrees in it, but we, you know, we were stepping up for what we had to do. But she did not like me. Oh boy, and no love lost here either. I mean, during my exit, the woman from HR is lovely, and so she talked to me, and I talked to her, and then my ex boss was saying, "Oh, it's you know, it's not personal. I loved working with you, and you're funny, and you're smart, and blah blah blah." And I stopped listening to her, and she's like, "It's just business." And I didn't say anything to her. I just turned back to the woman from HR, and we continued talking.
Yeah, well, you know bullshit when you hear it. Funny and smart, you know they're lying to you. Good for you. Ignore that shit. Ignore the compliments.
You're not going to sit there and go, "Good riddance." I mean, you've
got to
feel that nice bullshit.
Oh, that was performance for HR. I didn't believe any of that.
Well, right. If they need a second opinion, I'll be happy to provide one. All right.
Yeah, I'm not going to you for a referral when I'm
You should have gone to me before it came down to this point. I told you I had fixes. I told you I would handle things. You did not, and you're out skis. But what are you going to do? You don't listen. Shit happens. All right.
I know.
Speaking of shit happens, I stirred stuff up on my Facebook page a couple of days ago. So I'll bring this up for discussion. So I posted this. If one of the first things you tell me is that you are proud of your skin color, whatever it may be, I quickly deduce you have not much going for you. Haven't you accomplished anything other than your parents' DNA, which isn't even your accomplishment? That stirred up shit. Joe, what's your reaction to that?
So you said if you're proud of your skin color?
No. I said if one of the first things you tell me is, so I just meet you, and one of the first things you tell me is that you're proud of your skin color. If that's one of your, "Hey, I'm proud to be white," or "I'm proud to be black," or "brown," or whatever. If that's one of the first things you tell me about you, I'm guessing you don't have anything else going for you.
How many people would tell you that?
Listen, man, really, when I really saw it, I saw it was a reaction to all these people about proud to be white, which I never understood. It's like me saying I'm proud to be a Yankee fan. I mean, it's nice, but I really didn't have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with the Yankees World Series. I have nothing to do with being white or black or brown or yellow. I mean, now there's things that I've accomplished or my family that I'm proud of, relationships that I'm proud of. But my skin color, just me or my religion, It's just a feature. It's not something I personally derive pride in, well, and it's not something I would open with.
You got to break it down into a couple of things. You're bringing up a hypothetical situation that if you just met somebody and said, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Bob Smith. I'm proud to be white." First of all, nobody would ever say that. Now, if you're in a situation where you were made to feel ashamed to be white, which is how you're being felt that, you know, if you're white, you're a racist and you shouldn't be proud to be white, or, you know, white and, you know, renounce your whiteness and white privilege and all that. You know what? Sometimes, you know, you take it from a fact where you go, look, I'm not a racist. I work hard. I pay my taxes. I happen to be white. And if I'm told that I have to be renounced something because I'm white or I have white, no, I'm a white. I'm proud to be white. I've done nothing wrong to you. You should be proud to be black. You should be proud to be Hispanic. But when you're being pigeonholed into something, when you're being self-guilted into something, you don't open up a conversation saying hello. But if you are in a spot on Facebook or something in that effect where you're supposed to be apologetic for being the way you're born, you go, look, I'm white. I'm not going to renounce being white.
I don't think you could. I don't think you could renounce being white.
I was just wondering about that myself. I don't think anybody's asked, you know, I am no longer white.
Peel my skin.
I'm actually transparent, but
have you seen some of these videos?
No.
I mean, there are people who are losing their minds out.
The only moron I watch on TV is our president. I don't watch YouTube assholes giving their opinion. I don't need that shit. So, Pip, what is your takeaway from my post?
Well, I think that it is an odd thing to say that you're... Well, I mean, I understand that when somebody says, I'm black and I'm proud, it's not... It's
that
not
was
saying,
really adorable how you, like, you know, how you kind of, like, grooved into that statement, by the way. You kind of, like, did a little Pip dance.
Well, yeah, because there's a song that has that in it, and that's what popped into my head.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't know.
I had to move.
I don't know.
But if that's... There's more to, like, the way that people completely misunderstand what black people matter, black lives matter. I think that if you say I'm black and I'm proud, it's just saying I'm proud of myself. But it is a strange thing to lead with if you're just meeting somebody.
And that's what I said. I said if one of the first things you tell me, okay. So so this caused somebody who was a friend of mine, African-American, been on this show multiple times. I've always supported him. This is what he writes. That is so fucking offensive, Davin. We can't have pride just like any other culture. What the fuck is that? Get out of your bubble, bro. If I don't have pride in my race, then I may as well put a bullet in my brain, because every day my blood pressure from a fear you can't possibly imagine. I'm teaching my kid how to be a fucking soldier, bro. Are you? They killing us out here, and you deduce me to not having much going for me. We are no longer friends, bro. Peace. And he unfriended me, so I called him. And he would not pick up the phone. And I texted him. Now, keep in mind, a week ago, his daughter was going through a medical situation, so I reached out to him, and I gave him some advice.
Yeah.
2 days before this, I reached out to him because I wanted to raise funds for protesters, not the looters, but protesters that were arrested and needed bail. And, you know, he directed me to Sean King and Black Lives Matter. I talked about this last week. So two days before this, I've known this guy for years. So so that was one. Then I'm going to give you somebody else on there. Then I'm going to tell you who I spoke to another comic. And then I'll leave you with one more thing. So another comic said this, and she is a white comic. And she is a lesbian. A lot of what you're saying and have said seems to teeter on the edge. This feels really insensitive. I'm trying hard to get where you're coming from when so many of our black friends have tried having conversations about the genuine fear they feel. I'm at this point. It's hard for you to listen and be quiet. You don't really care. Maybe you care, but stirring shit up is fun. Okay, from that post. So, before that post, I called Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee has been on our show multiple times. African-American friend. I told him what happened between me and my other friend. So he explained to me, which you know, I wanted to have the conversation. He goes, you have to understand, black people have been told not to be proud of being black, which I did not know. That's a good conversation. I had no idea. The green screen's had enough of this shit, too.
The what?
The green screen. Yeah, I'll fix that later. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah. So.
Looks like you're doing a show from a painting project.
I am. So Kevin goes, you need to understand that. He goes, did you have the conversation? I'm like, I tried to call him. He wouldn't pick up. I texted. He wouldn't really respond. He goes, this guy has known you for years. He should know that you're not racist, and he should have the conversation with you. So
yeah, you'd think.
So, and then now I want to read you a quote. So I'm going to read you what I wrote again. I'm going to read you what I wrote again, and then I'm going to read you a famous quote, okay? So here's what I wrote again. If one of the first things you tell me is that you are proud of your skin color, whatever it may be, I quickly deduce you do not have much going for you. Haven't you accomplished anything other than your parents' DNA, which isn't even your accomplishment? I got unfriended and no longer friends with a black comic. I got a white comic questioning whether I'm racist. Now I'm going to read you a famous quote. When I'm done with it, tell me if you know who wrote it, who said it. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but their content of their character. Do you know who said that?
Martin Luther King.
Yes, Martin Luther King Jr., which is essentially what I said, except not as eloquently.
No, you didn't. Okay, basically, boy, did you put your foot in cow shit, okay?
Not at all.
With Kevin Lee's explanation, okay, you just went out and to anybody that's African-American during this situation and say, don't tell me you're proud. Tell me what you have done.
You're missing the first part of what I wrote. I said, I never said don't be proud. I said, if one of the first things you tell me is that you are proud of your skin color, I'm not saying don't be proud. I'm saying, tell me about you. Tell me about what you love, your passions, what you've done, what you want to achieve. And then if you want to get to skin color, fine. But let me get to know who you are. You can't
say. If you wrote this last month, it would be a different conversation. But if you've got African Americans, also like a lot of people going to Black Lives Matters movements, speaking out on Facebook, and there's all this, and then you put out a statement like that, you know what? I didn't think it was such a big deal until Kevin Lee explained.
But that's the conversation that could have been had. Kevin and I spoke for an hour. Kevin had a conversation with me, which made me go, okay, I see what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, but the way you came flying through the window with it, man.
No, because I've known these people for years, and I just called them 2 days before to raise money to help get protesters, and I was going to have him involved, help get raise money for protesters. So, no, it's not just flying blind.
But if you are so upset about what's going on with the police, what's going on with the riots, and, you're very affected by this, that statement is a trigger word. And maybe if you started off with Dr. King's...
You know what, Joe? Here's the thing. I'm not powdering the right's ass, and I'm not powdering the left's ass. Fuck you all! I don't care! I don't fucking care! Because here's what's going on, and this is always where I am. I piss off people on the left, and I piss off people on the right. If you look at what I am saying, and don't get triggered, if you look at what I'm saying... I'm not saying don't be proud of your skin color. I'm saying tell me about you. I want to judge you on you. Your skin color is not going to determine whether I like you or don't like you.
But with the understanding where you're saying, well, the black community doesn't feel proud. We've been taught or made to be conditioned to not feel proud. And then you come out with that statement.
So is
it can rub somebody the wrong.
So is Martin Luther King Jr.?
The King said that, you know.
Is Martin Luther King Jr. and Uncle Tom? It's essentially the same thing. He wanted his children. His dream was for his children to be judged by the content of their character. And I'm saying, I want to judge you by the content of your character. And now I'm the bad guy? No, it doesn't fucking jive. Listen, you can't hold Martin Luther King up on a pedestal, which I do, and most sane Americans do, and sane people in the world do. You can't hold him up and then go, no, he was fucking wrong. Which is it?
Tom, I mean, I think he's in our chat, and sometimes Tom tells things with a little tongue-in-cheek. He said, you white-splained their blackness. And then he said, that's an actual quote someone used on me yesterday.
Is that a thing now?
I think that maybe that's what he, you know, like what Kevin was trying to say.
No,
that,
but Kevin had the conversation, which is a very valid...
Yeah, he elaborated.
Right, which we go, when you go, oh, okay, I get that. Kevin was a mature adult, and Kevin knows me to know that it wasn't taken from a bad place. These people know me. This wasn't some random Twitter shit. And no matter any way you fucking slice it, Martin Luther King Jr. is saying his dream is for his children to be judged by their character. I am saying I want to judge you whatever your color is.
Let me tell you something. If you were Martin Luther King and phrased things the way you do, they would have blown the bridge up at Selma.
They already killed him! They already killed him! They fucking killed Martin Luther King Jr. They couldn't hear it then. They can't hear it now. Fuck you! We should all aspire for that. That's what the end game is. Yes, your color is part of your culture and heritage. That's cool. Nobody's denying you. Nobody should deny you that, whatever your color or your heritage is. But tell me about you. Tell me about your dreams. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your kids. Tell me about what you've accomplished. That's what we should all be.
You know where I would go with all of that? That is something where if I get into a debate where I feel that the whole thing with the riots or the thing has gotten a little out of hand, and if I'm called a racist, and I would, you know, I counter with something like that. I go, look, I'm not a racist. I judge people on the color of their skin. I think that it's absolutely stupid. And I look at, you know, African American, anybody. We pay our taxes. We go to work. We sit in traffic on the road. We work hard and stuff like that. Our kids are giving us, well, you know, people with kids, we go through a problem. We got that. We're all in the same boat together. Yeah, I judge people by that character, and that's how I judge people. And I I'm not a racist. There are some things I call out. But, you know, I understand that we're all in the same boat, and we got to work together.
Here's what I'm saying.
Don't come out with that statement.
Well, then, you know what? If we are not judging each other by our character, let's just fucking call society off. If I can't judge you by who you are and what you do and try to aspire to what the great Martin Luther King Jr. aspired for this country, then fuck you all. Fuck you all.
But you can't at this juncture. You can't go out the way things are right now with a whole race of people that are protesting all across the country where they're still protesting. There were riots from, you know,
Nothing that I said takes away from their protesting and the reason they're protesting. Nothing I said. My statement has nothing to do with protesting. My statement says, I want to get to know you. That's what my statement says. I can't help what you bring into it. You know what? When push comes to shove, if I'm lined up with Martin Luther King Jr., I'm good with it.
But you came out with saying, don't tell me you're proud, or don't meet me telling me you're proud.
No, I said you keep on cutting off the first part of that. I said if one of the first things you tell me, I never said don't be proud. I said if one of the first things you tell me is, and that's what Martin Luther King Jr. is saying, he doesn't want his kids judged by the color of their skin, he wants the kids judged by their character. I'm saying the same damn thing, and you're going to call me a rape, you're going to say,
I'll tell you something. If Dr. King was alive and we had him, and you said that in front to Dr. King. You know what he would have said? You said what?
No, Dr. King, listen, no, Dr. King would have gotten it. Dr. King aspired for things.
Jesus Christ.
Listen, Dr. King said it better because he's Dr. King. Dr. King said it better, but I actually get the gist of what he said. I'm not white-splaining, black-splaining, whatever. I'm saying, tell me about you. Tell me what I should like about you. Don't tell me about your color. Your color is irrelevant to how I'm whether you are going to be my friend, whether you're going to be family, whether we're going to work together, whether we're going to be lovers. It is irrelevant to me. Tell me about you. And if that's too hard for our fucking society to deal with, if that's going to trigger you, then fold it up. We're fucking doomed.
Being the devil's advocate. If
you, don't you ever get tired of that?
Yeah. If you had enough of police violence and you feel like you're being wronged and you feel enough is enough with this stuff, and you know you're protesting, you're worried about your kids, so on and so forth, and then you get somebody, you know, with your statements, they can take it as what you said was very stupid and very callous.
Or they could have a conversation like an adult.
Why don't you go down? Why don't you know what? And I'm not being funny.
No, you never are.
When am I ever? Thank you.
There's a foot race there.
usually that starts after my intro, but nonetheless. why don't you go to a Black Lives Matter rally with your phone and ask people that question there?
But here's the difference. Here's the difference, Joe. It was on my Facebook. It was on my Facebook page with people who know me, people I've hung out with. So I'm not just putting it out there with no context. These are people. I called this guy 2 days before this to ask how we could help support that cause. 2 days before.
Sometimes you have a problem, and it's. Maybe the way you word something on Facebook or the way you word something when we text each other, sometimes you have a horrible way of wording stuff. And it took, Dab, we've been friends 20 years. And there have, you know, and it only maybe after we had that big blowout, maybe, Christ, what was that, 7 years ago, where you would write something and I go, he's writing it, but he's not saying it the way he's writing it. Sounds a little bit more rough, but I know him and I know he doesn't mean it the way he's writing it. You have a problem with that sometimes where you don't word things. You word things kind of callously.
Listen, man, I don't think this is a wording issue. I think this is a reading issue.
Because you keep on going to,
I'm saying you don't have pride, and you shouldn't have pride in your skin color. That's not what I said. See, that's the problem. People are reading into what they want to read into it instead of reading and processing what I actually wrote. That's the problem.
Well, that's really interesting because I wonder what you would think about the way that I processed it initially, because I didn't assume that, like, you know, you read something and you go, who's the audience for this statement? I didn't assume that the audience for that statement was a black person. I initially thought you were speaking to somebody that was white and was saying, I'm proud to be white. And then, you know, your follow-up is, well, what have you accomplished besides your accident of genetics? And whoever reads it is intending it, is taking it as a message to them to think about. But I thought, my initial thought was, what are you saying with that? Okay, yeah, what's so great about just happening to be white? That's why I didn't take it as any kind of bad statement, but it, in the context of the times, it's like a tinderbox. Anything can set the things aflame. I can understand why people's feelings are heightened and they are going to be, you know, pushed because, you know, it's not like we're talking about people, especially comedian friends, that have tend to whittle feelings.
These are comedians. The people that reacted are comedians.
But yeah. The thing about it is, Pip's explanation is spot on. I felt the same way she did before Kevin explained it, how an African American would feel about it.
Well, that's how Kevin took it. That's not necessarily how every African American might take it. That's how Kevin
gave a good. But he gave a good.
Yes,
he gave a great explanation.
Sure, he did.
How the other gentleman why he took it that way.
Of course he did. Of course he did, because Kevin's a mature adult. Kevin can have a conversation.
I understand that, but the other person, even though it's a comic, might be so pissed off that, you know what, maybe they want to, I know they unfriended you, but maybe they want to collect their thoughts, calm down, think, and you will, you know, you eventually may have a chance, maybe you'll apologize for being so, short on the hammer on it and stuff like that. But, seeing Kevin's explanation on it, yeah.
No, when Kevin explained that, I got that. I go, okay, I didn't know that. That makes sense. But again, that's putting into Kevin's explanation still puts a lot into that statement that's not there. You know, Kevin, again, if you misread it, which you apparently people are, if you misread it, I'm saying don't be proud. There's no reason to be proud of your color, which is not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't make that one of the first things you tell me about you. I want to know about you.
And you got to understand something about social media. People don't sit there. People gloss through stuff. People are busy to gloss through stuff. And people got stuff to do. And then, it's not like it's, it's fun to read Davin's quote on Facebook time. Always a great time to unwind and curl up and look into the introspection with Davin. People look at, they're going to sit there and look and go, you got to be kidding me.
That's fine. Then have the conversation. If anybody on the left or right or the middle thinks any of this shit's going to be resolved without a conversation, I got another thing coming for you. Because I got to tell you, right now, the left, and we're going to get into a little bit more later, the left has a fucking messaging problem with their defund the police. Ugh! Talk about a terrible name for something.
But what I was saying is, you send out a message like that, and it's not worded properly, and to the African-American community that might be very cold and callous, that's what you're...
Well, to be fair, Joe, it was one person. It was one person. It was one African American person. And then here's the thing. There's a little difference between his reaction. I know he's very angry right now, so I get that. But then there's the other thing. The allies of the left thing. Listen, man, it's good to be an ally. I know we all like to call ourselves allies now. I know that makes us feel good. But listen, motherfuckers, if you really want to change shit, don't be fucking snowflakes. Have the conversation. You can't be so quick to get triggered, because I got news for you. There's a whole lot of pushback from the law and order side, if you will. So if you want to get anywhere with that constituency, you can't be afraid to talk. You can't have your little feelings hurt. You got to fucking do the work. And listen, I give all the credit to the protesters that are out there doing the work. Now, the dialogue, and I give credit to the police departments that are having the conversation with their community, very difficult conversations, and the local governments that are having the conversations with their community. That's the hard work to do. But if you got all these people on the left and the right that don't want to have conversations because it's just easier to yell and to name call, then nothing's going to fucking happen. And unfortunately, we're going to keep on seeing bad shit happening. These people protesting are not protesting because they're soft. They're protesting because they're willing to do the work. That's why you go out there day after day. It's not because you're soft. It's because you're willing to do the work. And if you're just going to check out of a conversation and not try to delve into it, you're not really doing the work. So really, who are you helping?
Well, I think that, I don't want to explain this by being the thing I'm explaining.
Joe, can you, Joe, can you give her your devil's advocate hat so she can play that role?
Well, okay, now I've got my horns. I'm ready to go. It seems to me that I've heard black voices saying that they don't want to be, by virtue of being black, they don't want to be responsible for educating white people. There's a sense that they have to, because if white people or white people in power are the oppressors, then by fighting back, they have to use their words, or they have to explain,
I think
it should be just a basic human right. We're all equal, but it's not. So they have to, you know.
I think now's the opportunity. I think now's when they do have to explain, because it seems like finally white America is ready to listen. You look at these protests. There's a whole lot of white people out there. We haven't seen this before. So maybe they're tired of it, and I get it. And maybe it shouldn't have to be done. But again, if you want to do the work, this is part of the work. Now you need to explain it, because white people are actually fucking listening. So now's not the time to throw up your hand and go, not today.
What you have out there is a lot of white millennials that are looking for anything to jump on the bandwagon with that might have a point. Okay? And that's what I find that I've been seeing. A lot of them, well, they're not working. Maybe it's COVID or whatever. A lot of them are in debt. A lot of them, you know, or have a degree they can't do anything with, and maybe they feel frustrated, and they really never had something to hang their hat on, and maybe that they're seeing this with the Black Lives Matter, they're hanging their hat on that. I mean, the whole thing that really gets me is that basically it's the thing with, you know, the whole perception of the police brutality, which in this case is absolutely right. This guy, this poor fellow was held down by the net and the neck. But the thing about it is that you watch TV, every commercial you see, there is a mixed couple. You rarely see a white person on a commercial, okay? On TV shows, you see a lot more mixed couples and mixed things. They've arrived. They are integrated in, okay? Basically, my parents' generation was bigoted. I was raised not to be bigoted. We're accepting. Sometimes you get to the point where you're felt to be told, well, you don't have any respect. We do, you know. And
no, there are still issues. They are not represented in our government. They're not represented in a lot of jobs. Listen, it's gonna take everybody. Yes, you see more. Yes, you see more people on TV because that reflects society. TV is usually a reflection of society. There's a lot more yellow people, brown people, and black people in our society.
It also reflects in their communities, where a lot of them, I mean, the school system is horrid because it's corrupt. Sometimes there's not a father unit there. The family unit is broken and just
yeah, well, yeah, like the Floyd family. There's no father for that little girl because he was killed. Yeah,
okay,
that's a problem.
Maybe the woman that he held at knife point years prior, maybe the little girl that was in that belly might have felt the same way. This guy was no, you know what? What happened to him does not reflect him being held down and by the knee on the neck. But make no mistake, this guy was no choir boy.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he was.
But I understand in the context of what happened, it does not matter. But still, there are certain factors that might have led him on the path that he was. Maybe it was, you know, a poor education, not a good family. We should be concerned, the community should be concerned about that as a part and parcel of the whole problem.
Well, that's part of the and we'll get into that in a little bit, but that's part of the defund the police, put more money into schools, put more money into programs to help black and brown people. That's part of the defund the police, which has a god awful name.
But also with that, I guess we'll discuss it when we get to that point, but also, you know, you have to, and it's not a matter of the schools are so mismanaged. Because there's so much cronyism. You have the unions that have people that can't teach that have to be due to tenure.
You have the same thing in the police unions. You have to keep bad cops because they have a strong union. It's the same thing. I mean, listen, unions are good.
Yes, it is. So those two things on both sides of the spectrum need to be a talking point on that.
All right, but that's not this point. That's not what we were talking about. I hear you. That's not what my point is. If people want to make progress, they have to be willing to have the conversation. It's too easy to discard people. Facebook is full of everybody discarding everybody. If you like Trump, you're gone. If you're a libtard, you're gone. Everybody's getting rid of everybody, so they just have their own little echo chamber for everybody who fucking cheers them. If you notice, my page is never that way. You know, I don't always engage when people are going back and forth, but there's all sorts of opinions going on. Oh, how come you're still friends with them? Because they have other qualities I like. I might find certain certain aspects of their personality despicable. But there are still, but maybe I can help change that shit. If I check out, if I remove that person from my life, then the conversation can't be had. And that's what, if people want progress, and listen, you look at every poll, you look on the streets, so people want progress with this. People are tired of this shit, and I don't blame them. And we're seeing a lot of bad stuff that's come out. But you gotta do the work. It's more than just going out and marching. You gotta do the work. Now, what you need is,
right. You
need people on the other side to have that conversation. So then you have the what?
But I have but there's an issue with that, because I have a friend who is who says, you know, I let everybody have their piece on my page. Now, here's the thing. This goes back to facts versus opinions. You want to have the conversation, and you want to talk to people that feel differently than you, but you don't want to have the conversation with people who are not doing the equal amount of work with you.
I don't engage.
You don't have a conversation with people who aren't open to change their mind when confronted with new information.
I don't really have people like that commenting on my page. Usually if people...
Well, that's good.
No, I mean, you
saying that
usually
if people weed out those idiots... That's not a bad point on the person doing this.
No,
either.
I mean, it's usually somebody like Joe who has his point of view and backs it up, or with, you know, I probably disagree with what he's saying, but, you know, he has the conversation. There's my friend Tony on the page.
You could also bring Harry Friedman into it. I mean, Harry will discuss, you know, he'll post something on Facebook. We'll discuss it, you know, at the class, so what you posted this week. And we'll have a lovely conversation, you know, both his points and my points at the club about it, you know.
But that's maturity. That's trying to make a better, just having those conversations makes things a little bit better. And I've talked about it before. If we're at the point where we're demonizing everybody, and Joe, we have friends, comedian friends who I've seen go from, I remember when they didn't like Trump, to they're all in now, and they don't want to talk to anybody who doesn't think like they think. It's not fucking healthy, man. You have to have.
Well, you know what's interesting. There was one comedian, one that's all in on Trump, and you know has his issues with liberals. I did a show with him. Oh God, back in 2011, I believe it was. And the whole ride up to the gig, Obama, 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 this, Obama, and praising him. I was, Obama's got to be president. He's going to be the guy. But, and then when he started going, I go, what happened? And, you know, I mean, in his opinion, Obama's ideals, when he was running, he loved, and he did not, he got very disenfranchised with it when Obama was president.
I think we're talking about the same person, but now this person is a cultist. Now this person is full of, like, it's fine. You can like Obama and then become disenfranchised. That's fine. That's legitimate. You know, and there's a conversation we had there. But when you're all up another candidate's, when you're all up a president's ass and nothing can be wrong and you're so full of venom, you've crossed over. There's no longer having the conversation.
A lot of people that you'll encounter on Facebook, if you make a comment and they debate you, oh, you're this and blah, blah, blah. And they just, you know, and they just, oh, you're a racist, you're and you don't want to, you know, and I'll bring up a point, and I will give me five bullet points on this, and they're, you know, whereas, if you like I said, we discussed with you, or like, or at the club with Peter Bales, or with Harry Friedman, or something like that, you know, it's a very interesting exchange of ideas and stuff like that, you know, and it's a great debate, great exchange of ideas, and a lot of times when you get people on the far right or the far left, you're not going to get that. I don't even expect getting that.
That's the problem. That's
what I was talking about.
We need to take the microphones away from them, because the far left is never going to be happy, and the far right is never going to be happy. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
They want a country that's never going to be. The country is going to swing to the left, and it's going to swing to the right, but it'll always be. But most of the people will be somewhere in the middle. That's just the reality of it. So it's very foolish. These politicians play to the far left or the far right in the primaries to get themselves elected, which shows a flaw in our election system. But the vast majority of the people, they just want to fucking get along. They're not that ideological, man.
Well, it's a lot of times, like I said, I was working with Caitlin Bailey, who used to, we were doing a gig, and we had a great conversation on the ride to the shows, and she was a lobbyist, and she, all, you know, when we were talking about Trump and stuff like that, and with the religious right. And I, you know, one of my comments was, well, I really. You know what upsets me is the way that the right really plays to the religious portion of the of that, and she said, well, they have to, because that's their base. You have to play to your base, and then you build outside of that. So so that's what happens when you get that. I find it interesting with the Democrats how far they're going to pull. At least Biden is going to play to the far left.
No, I don't. I see no evidence of that. I know that's the narrative the right wants to create. But I see no, like Biden just said, he's like, no, I'm not for defunding the police.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I don't see that at all. But listen, I said this last week. Biden's problem with the far left is going to be that they're not going to come along. If he has a problem, it's not that they're going to swing him. It's that they're not going to feel that this is our guy. And that's the problem with the far left. And Obama's talked about this with their fucking purity test. Fucking enough. You have two choices. It's President Trump, and you know what you're going to get for another 4 years. So you can have that. Because he ain't changing. We know President Trump isn't changing. If anything, he's going to get more erratic, for lack of a better word. So there's President Trump, you can have that, or there's Joe Biden. You're not getting Bernie. You're not getting AOC. These are your fucking choices. So if you're actually more than just talk, if you actually care about the country, you need to decide what you think is better. You can't sit there curling up and crying in a little ball, go, oh, it's not Pat Robertson, or oh, it's not Bernie Sanders. Fuck you. This is who we got. Or you could vote for Justin Amash, who wants to run as a libertarian, and that's fine too. Those are your three choices, and people need to fucking get their head around this shit. Now, listen, there's something, a great quality about Americans is aspirationalism. We're a very aspirational country because look at how we came to be. We fucking threw
tea.
That's the basis of everything. That's ingrained in the American dream, which is great. Which is great, but you also have to know how to apply things and be practical, and you also have to understand the people. Yes, we're aspirational. American people do not want huge change, whether it be right or left, and quick things. The fact that America came so quickly with gay marriage is a shock. I mean, it took years in the making, but once it happened quickly. That's not usually how things work in this country, whether it be civil rights, women voting, whatever it is. Gay rights is an anomaly. And, you know, people, if things change with the policing and equality, people might say it's overnight. It's not overnight, man. It's been going on for years. Black people have been telling this story for years. So this is a long time in the making, and I think it's just right now. More people are willing to listen to it, and it's partly because we were all home watching TV, and we all saw it. I think that's a big part of it.
I think also where gay rights has become more prevalent is because religion has become less prevalent. Now, and the reason I'm saying is religion, you know, is not that prevalent in our country as it was. Maybe in certain parts of the country where, well, if the Bible says if you're gay, you're burning in hell. You know, you look at it, you know, a lot of people look at it, look, you know, live and let. I mean, my neighbor's right next door. They were a lesbian couple, lovely people. They made me dinner when I moved in. I didn't have any food. I never once looked, they're gay. You know, I mean, they're lovely people. They're living their life. That's, you have the right to live your life.
Well, see, you know, here's something you have to reconcile yourself with, Joe, because the candidate that you like so much is doing everything he can to take away LGBTQ rights. His Department of Justice is arguing in the Supreme Court that gay couples Catholic adoption agencies should be able to tell gay couples they can't adopt. That's something you got to wrap your head around with, because you're progressive when it comes to gay rights. You're open to it. You always have been open to it. And now you have people next door who you happen to care about because they've been kind to you. I mean, that's something people have to pick their battles. I mean, that's a big fucking deal.
We're progressive enough. I'm not for that. But I believe
you're not for what? You're not for what?
Sorry?
You're not for what?
Not for what? That gay people can't adopt.
So you're fine with gay people adopting?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. But
what I'm saying to you is that they're pandering to the religious right.
Yes.
On that. They have to stick with their base.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is, as a Trump voter, as a Trump supporter who is progressive on that, you know, that's something that, and you're not the only one, of course, that's something you have to deal with when you have to weigh your decisions and everything. How important is that to me? Do I want my neighbors, in your case, to be discriminated against for not to be able to provide a loving family for a kid who needs to get adopted, and there's not enough people willing to adopt, or am I so on board that I can overlook it? And I'm not telling you have to make your decision now, but I'm just saying.
Well, it's not on board. It's not like saying on board. I'm so on board. Yeah, God, you know, like I'm yeah. Okay.
No, but this administration has attacked the LGBTQ community at every turn, whether it's like gay people serving in the military, trying to take away their protections under the Civil Rights Act. I mean, it's something you really got to think about, and you will. You'll grapple with it, and that's fine. You don't have to tell me what you're going to do.
And it's been shot down at every turn, so if that has got to be a decision I have to make.
Well, no, it hasn't. It hasn't been shot down at every turn. It hasn't been shot down because it goes to see. Well, here's the thing: it's one thing if it gets its way to the Supreme Court, that's fine. It's another thing when your Department of Justice is arguing on behalf of it. That's where now we have two branches of government involved. I would say let the Supreme Court figure it out whether a Catholic adoption agency can say gay people can't adopt. Let them figure it out. If I was president, I would not have my Department of Justice making that argument.
No, it seems like that's not the right that's not the right arm of of the three branches that should be involved.
But as Joe said, they're playing to the far right, and that's fine. But listen, all I'm saying is, because that is the far right. I mean, Joe's very right of center, but he's not fucking that far right. So what I'm saying is, there people really need to look issues by issues. And see what's important, but the conversation has to be had. It can't just be like, "Oh, you think this way, and I'm not going to talk to you." Nothing gets solved that way. I feel like I have to come on here every couple of months and fucking reiterate this shit to people. I don't understand. And now, and then we're going to move on. We're going to take our break. But I'm just saying, listen, Black Lives Matter. They do matter, and people are in the streets for a very good cause, in my opinion. But now is that's not the full work. You've got attention. You've got in every poll, you have the vast majority of people on your side. But you can't take the easy way out and say, I think as Tom said, I don't want to white-splain, which I'd never heard before. No. Now's the time where you need to go, listen, this is our history. This is what we've been trying to tell you. Now you see it. Now we need to come together because you see what we've been going through and we need to make it better. It can't stop at the fucking march. And you're going to have people resisting, people trying to drag you back to the 50s or 60s or the 1600s, wherever the fuck they want to drag you back to. You can't give up. You have to keep going. And I think there's enough allies that vote Republican. I believe on this issue, there are enough allies, and they're not in the federal government. I will tell you that right now, because with the exception of Mitt Romney, I guess, who actually marched and actually said Black Lives Matter.
Oh, he's pants. Can't you tell he's pandering? He's phony as he can come. He is such a pandering asshole that you can't tell he's pandering.
You don't think your boy panders?
He panders to his base, but Mitt Romney is so pandering.
But what I'm saying is, listen, I don't give a shit one way or the other about Mitt Romney. He's not my hero. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to pander, be on the right side of history. Listen, I don't hold Mitt Romney up as anything special. But what I'm saying is, the constituency of these senators and congressmen, if you look at every poll, thinks this is a just cause and America can do better. The constituency, the vast majority of people feel like we can do better. Now would be a right, maybe it's pandering, I don't know, maybe you believe it, but now would be in a right time to have those conversations on a higher level of government. Now is the time. Because your constituents want it. It's a smart fucking thing to do. And I don't understand why this, I mean, I do know why this president doesn't have this conversation, because he's playing
Basically, steps in government on the police department and their role and their relationship with those communities.
Yes.
It's also going to take the activists in the community not to take steps not only with the police, but also factors in their own community to work with those factors to make all that work.
Well, a lot of them do. You're absolutely right. A lot of them do. And you know what? We got to donate more resources to the people in those communities that are doing good work, because it makes for a healthier society. First of all, it's fucking embarrassing. It's embarrassing how the rest of the world looks at us that we're still marching about this shit. It's from we brought slaves over in the 1600s, and we still haven't figured this shit out.
Well, I think the catalyst for that obviously was that hideous act, but I also think that people were cooped up and suddenly want to get out. I also think a lot of the people, and I saw a couple of the one live, are all these kids in their 20s that are, like I said, have a college degree that's worthless. They are over in debt with their school loans. They don't have a job. They're still living at home, and they really don't have a cause to really hitch themselves on. And I think they're just hitching their frustrations with their own problems onto the Black Lives Matter.
Well, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding when they vote, if they vote or not. If they stay home and don't vote, then you may have a very valid point. Then they just want to go outside and be part of a parade. But
I just think that because the majority, I see a majority are these white kids.
Well, I don't think it's majority young people. I think it's mixed of all ages. But we're gonna find out. We don't have that answer right now, Joe.
I actually saw one. There was one. I was getting my tire changed, and there was a Black Lives Matter rally that was coming through. And I'm sitting there with somebody, and 80% were white.
That's good.
What's wrong with that? If that is your gut feeling and your gut cause, fine, that's great. But if it's something like all those other reasons I said, and you just need something to hit your frustrations on, then you're using the African American community just as a frustration of your own problems that you don't even have with the African American community.
Well,
are you with them? Or are you just trying to vent for the sake of venting?
I would not. I don't think any of us should ascribe motivation to it right now. I think
that's kind of doing them a disservice.
We're going to find out in November.
They're just doing it to get out of the house.
We're going to find out in November. If a lot of these young people vote, and they're not going to vote for President Trump, if the ones who feel this way, if a lot of these young people vote, then you know what? It did grab them. This was one of the motivating factors. If they stay home and don't vote, Joe's got a valid point. You know, they were tired of being cooped up. When it was time for the rubber to hit the road, they fucking stayed home. You know, we're going to find out. That's the only way. So I'm not going to ascribe their motivation, their dedication, or their beliefs right now. I'm going to say to be continued. All right.
Sure.
All right. Well, that was heavy, I guess. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that worse?
No, listen. How can we not talk about this shit? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, honestly, the past couple of months have just been so depressing. 2020 has sucked. I'm not one of these. Every year, at the end of the year, people go, oh, thank God this year's done. Here's the next. I'm not one of those people. But this year, let's be honest, 2020 sucks.
Look, in our lives, there's no gigs, okay? The concerts we want to see are canceled. You can't go out to dinner. You can't do any. I mean, you know, Memorial Day came. Yeah, that's great. I had a nice time. I was over Vinny's on the Friday. I went over to my other buddies on a Saturday. I was on Ants on Monday, you know, and then I was over at my Vinny's again this week. So, you know, people are starting to socialize.
Oh, it's opening up. You know, here's the problem with it. Real quick, here's the problem with how we've handled COVID-19. Here's the problem with it. So for a couple of months, we all stayed inside for the most part. You could give your opinion on that one way or the other. So we got the numbers down, but what you're seeing is, like, last time I saw, it's like 14 or 16 states, and you could put the protesting in there with it too. I mean, I understand why people are out, and a lot of them are being responsible, but still. But now we're having, like, these record numbers of COVID-19, and we're just opening shit up. We're just opening it all up. So we gotta be honest with ourselves. We really never had a fucking plan. Shit got hard, and we're like, ah, fuck it. Like, we need to be honest with ourselves. Because if numbers are really going up like we're seeing in some of these states, then you gotta go inside if you really care about putting the numbers down. That's what we did in New York.
Right, but like I said, there comes a tipping point where you go, look, I've been cooped up for 3 months. I have no, I am a job. You want to know something? We got to give it a shot. If people get sick, the survivability rate is at 98%, and we got to give it a shot. I mean, if we really relapse, then we'll take.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Then we got it. Then we have to say we never. If we don't care, then we should have said, well, we didn't care to begin with.
That's the whole thing. I mean, we're seeing, you know, I mean, it's like everybody, there's all these protests now and stuff like that. People are, you know.
Oh, you
like,
sound much louder.
Well, is the world ended, you know?
Hey, wait, for a couple seconds there, you sounded much louder. Whatever you did, do that again.
What's that?
I don't know. You were much louder and clearer.
Oh, the second.
No, I don't need you to repeat it. I just like that audio level.
All right. Well, I'll just have to yell.
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. All right.
Great.
No, but listen, I understand why people are protesting, but that's not good for COVID-19. Going to the beach isn't good for COVID-19. I mean, it's just, and it's funny because like countries like Italy have essentially gotten rid of COVID-19, and they were hit really, really hard because they did the work. We got like, oh, this is really fucking hard.
Also, Italy is about the size of like Michigan, so it's like,
no, but the people, it doesn't matter, the people still did the work. You got it. Listen, if the goal is to get COVID-19 down to really low numbers, you gotta do the work. If it's not the goal, if it's too hard, then we never should have been shut in to begin with. We're trying to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, well, that too remains to be seen as well.
I don't know, it just strikes me that numbers are going up like through the roof in places, and we're just like opening more shit up in those places. Like it doesn't matter. It's just like, then what was the fucking point of any of this? What was the point of any of this? And I get why people are upset. Oh, so I guess you could protest, but you can't do this or that. I get it. But, you know, people are obviously making the decision that this is so important and that, you know, they have to go out there for that cause, and that's fine too. I get it. But it's just really interesting how we feel like we can control a virus on our feels. it's just like this incarnation of America. This incarnation, we'll go back to make America great again, whatever the fuck that means. What you can say about Americans of past generations, when shit got hard, they were able to roll up their sleeves and accomplish a goal. You can say that about past generations of this country. Now we're like, I have to watch Netflix inside. It's hard. We're just
yeah. But after going on three months, especially going into the summer months, you know, you get to the point where you know what I gotta take the chance.
No, but it makes sense to open up New York because we did the work. And our numbers are way down. It makes sense for New York to be opening up, but it doesn't make sense where you never really did the work. You closed late, you opened up early, and your numbers are going through the roof. I mean, we have states like that, too, and I'm just like, what the fuck? What's the even point, then? Because you know this shit's coming back to New York, Joe. You know it's coming back to New York, because we got three of the biggest airports, and we got New York City, and you know we're going to be on lockdown again, and that pisses me off, because we all did the work. Say, people love Cuomo, people hate Cuomo. I'm not going to get into Cuomo.
Well, what are we going to do? We're all going to sit inside and tell them not to open the airport up?
No, you're going to know. What I'm saying is, if your numbers are going through the roof, maybe lay back and opening up the nightclubs. Maybe hold back on having everybody out at the beach. Or you know what? Be on the beach. But wear a fucking mask. Listen, we're lucky. I know people hate masks. We hate masks. But we're fucking lucky because we just know we have to wear a mask. And we wear a fucking mask. And there's no negotiation. And now we're starting to get the fruits of our labor. Now shit is starting to open up safely. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm happy for that. You know what?
Well, we got hit harder than the
Yes, Joe. Yes, we did. But what I'm saying is these other regions are now getting hit really hard, and they don't have the resources that this region has. They don't have the hospitals that we have. We have so many hospitals. We have so many skilled doctors and nurses here. We're very blessed. We have a whole shitload of people, but we have a lot of resources here. And I see it happening in these places where they don't have the resources. And, you know, they interview these nurses and these doctors, and they're just opening shit up, and it's going to be really sad. And listen, and part of it is, we've talked about this before. They really don't know anything about COVID-19. Every week or two, shit changes. And it's very frustrating to people, and I understand that. I understand it, that it's like it's new. I get it. You know, what's fact today might not be fact tomorrow. But I'm not everybody. Right. I understand people are frustrated by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, man, I mean, listen, America just has to decide for what's going to happen with this second wave, whether we give a shit or don't give a shit. Whatever we decide, I'm good with. I really am. But this going halfway shit, it really doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, if we really want to get our numbers really low, then we might have to be locked down again. If we don't give a shit, then open it up.
Every region, but you're dealing, every region is different.
Okay? I understand that. I understand it. But like I just said, we deserve to be able to go back outside. We fucking did the work. And we're still wearing masks. It makes sense what we're doing in this region. It makes sense. We did the work. We got our numbers down. We still have restrictions. We know we have to wear a mask. We're not fucking arguing about a mask. We shouldn't be arguing. We know it. It makes sense. Because I'm a person of logic. To me, that makes sense. I'm okay with it. I was okay with being shut in. I'm okay with opening things up now. I'm okay with having to wear a mask because I see the logic behind it. What I don't understand is these states that have numbers, record numbers, 1,500 new cases in a day, and they're just like, boom, we're opening this up, we're opening that up. Like, you motherfuckers. Then what was the point? Then why did you even shut down to begin with? If you just don't care, then don't shut down and take your chances. That's fine. I just wish America wouldn't be schizophrenic and go by the feels. Just make a goddamn decision. And I'll live with it either way. I'll be fine with it either way. I really will. I just can't take this halfway bullshit. So for somebody who's a moderate, when it comes to this, I can't take this halfway bullshit. Fucking decide. Are we trying to keep our numbers down, or are we going, you know what? It's got about a 2% kill rate. Fucking fingers crossed. Here we go. Whatever we decide, I'm good with. Let's just fucking make up our mind.
Those are the two choices.
They are. But we're trying to do this halfway shit. Which just drives me nuts. It's the halfway. Like, I don't understand. Like, we're all going to go to the beach now and not social distance and not wear masks, and our numbers are going to go through the roof, and we're going to act like everything's cool. Then why did you shut down to begin with when your numbers were fucking low? That makes no sense.
Because we didn't know. Well, we just had enough.
Fuck Grandma.
You know, listen. I mean, if that's the decision the country's going to make, then, you know, let's pretend that, let's stop with any lives matter.
It's a decision portions of the country are going to make in their own jurisdiction.
I understand, but we don't have set borders.
Where life is different in certain portions of the country than in other.
That's fine.
Parts of the country.
That's fine, but it's just, but there's no consent. Like, here's what I'm saying. If a state was open, and now their numbers are starting to go through the roof like ours did, logically you would say, okay, now we need to clamp down on it. That's what I'm saying, logically. Hey, we played it loosey-goosey. We closed late. We opened early. We thought we could dodge it. They said we couldn't dodge it. They thought we could dodge it. We can't dodge it. Our numbers are really high now. We got to scale it back. That would make sense. But they're not doing that, which just blows my mind.
If they were looking for maybe the recovery rate of people, if they feel that a recovery rate is worth enough to take the chance, you know, maybe so.
I don't know, man. We just don't really have much consistency. It just blows my mind. And like I said, I understand the frustration of it all. I understand why people are scratching their head. How come I can protest, but I can't go to a graduation? I get it. I get the frustration.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. It's like down at Uncle Vinny's down at Point Pleasant. You know, they're opening up the beach, but still a lot of the small businesses can't open, and they're freaking out. It's like you can have people congregating the beach. You know, I'm trying.
Well,
to
it's outside.
My club.
It's outside. It does, the disease doesn't spread as much outside. That's what.
Yeah, but if you take steps, but they're not even allowing them to get set up to take the steps.
Well, no, now they are. They are. They're starting to open stuff up, and that's fine. They're doing it slowly. That's fine. Listen, Jersey and New York got crushed. That's fine. Take it slow. Read the tea leaves. I'm cool with this. I think we just went into phase two yesterday. Tomorrow, I'm getting a fucking haircut. I'm wearing my mask. I'm getting a haircut. I'm cool with it.
Wow.
Listen, I'm cool with it. I want comedy clubs to open up because I keep on having a recurring nightmare that I'm on stage and I forget my act. That's a recurring nightmare I keep having, and it sucks.
That's not a nightmare. That's a gift.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right. On the break. On the break. All right. Fucking bask in your hostility, will you, over there? On the break, we got new music from Breeze Red Wine with Too Far Gone and Sophie Griffiths with Hole, and you can learn more about them at deucemusic.com. And then we'll get into some things about COVID-19, about the scams of COVID-19 and some police stories and some Nazi stuff, all sorts of fun stuff. Short break.